Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We have been putting the searchlight of God's truth upon one particular text in Colossians chapter 1. Namely, verse 19, which tells us who Jesus Christ is in a condensed but magnificent and incredibly complete statement. And the verse says, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell." And as we explained on previous broadcasts, what this is essentially telling us is that God the Father determined in eternity past that when he would send the Messiah, that Messiah would be more than a man, he would also be God. The Messiah would be God come in the flesh. It pleased the Father that in him, the man Christ Jesus, the one who fills the messianic office, all the fullness, that is, of the Godhead, all the fullness of the Godhead should dwell. That is incredible, but that is the truth. And when he said it should dwell, that's present tense, ongoing reality. And so what he's saying is that in the man, Christ Jesus, the fullness of deity should take up residence and dwell permanently. In other words, God the man, who has always been God, the Son, when he became God the man, will now forever be God the man. He will always be a man infused with the fullness of deity. And that stretches my mind, but that is the truth. There is a man in heaven today. His name is Jesus Christ. He rose triumphant from the grave and rose in a glorified body, a heavenly body, like he will give to all of his children upon his return. And now he sits upon the throne of God in heaven as a man who is fully God. From eternity past, he was God the Son without a body. At the incarnation, he became God the Son within a human body. And now for the remainder of eternity, he will always be God the Son in a human glorified body. That is amazing, but that is what this text is telling us. So thank you for joining me on this Monday, January 11, and thank you for remembering that the Beacon Broadcast depends upon support from listeners like you. Well, let's summarize this teaching as we have already examined it. And I think we can do so in three statements. Number one, Jesus is fully God. Number two, Jesus is exclusively God. And number three, Jesus is eternally God. First of all, Jesus is fully God. He is as much God as God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. In the incarnation, Jesus did not lose or even lay aside any of his deity. His humanity did not lessen his deity in any way. The Bible reveals to us that he remained God, the Son, when he was Jesus the man, and will forever do so, as we have already mentioned. That brings, therefore, under scrutiny a very well-known hymn of the past that some of you will know and some of you will not, one by Charles Wesley, that we love to sing at our church. And it says in one of the verses of Jesus Christ, He emptied Himself of all but love and died for Adam's fallen race. This is the hymn, And Can It Be, which some consider to be Wesley's conversion hymn. I don't very often take exception to the words of the hymns penned by Charles Wesley. I find that for the most part they are spot on, biblically and doctrinally, as I understand the Bible. But in this case, I will have to take exception, because it implies that Jesus in, or I should say God the Son, in becoming Jesus — He wasn't Jesus before the incarnation, He was God the Son — but God the Son, in becoming Jesus at the incarnation, emptied Himself of His deity. He emptied Himself of all, Wesley writes, but love. But that's not true. He did not empty Himself of His deity. He retained it. Now, it is true that He apparently laid aside the exercise of His deity on some occasions. That is clear from reading the biblical accounts. Sometimes you read something and you are aware that Jesus is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows what people are thinking. Read about it in the gospel accounts. He knew what they were thinking. He knew what they were saying. He knew what was in their hearts, the Bible tells us. That's because He's God. He did not lay aside His deity. And yet on other occasions, He seems to need to be told, seems to need to be informed. And other times when He doesn't seem to have the immediate exercise of His deity. Puzzling. It's always puzzled me. It continues to puzzle me. But it's obvious that whatever laying aside took place, it was not at the time of the incarnation. He didn't empty Himself of all but love. I don't think He emptied Himself of deity at all. The proper way to put it is that He laid aside His glory, that is, the full manifestation of His deity. When we talk about the glory of God, we're talking about the manifestation of His divine characteristics. That's what His glory is. Now, He laid aside the full manifestation of His deity. His deity was not readily apparent. It was cloaked in humanity so that most, I would say, could not see it. They did not recognize that He was God in human form. So He laid aside His glory, but He didn't lay aside His deity. Jesus was fully God from the moment of His conception. Mystery, marvel. It's an incredible thing, but it is true, and He continues to maintain that full deity. So, number one, Jesus is fully God. Number two, Jesus is exclusively God. No other man or creature can make this claim. The fullness of God did not dwell in Buddha. The fullness of God did not dwell in Muhammad. The fullness of God did not, has not, and will not dwell in any man. There's only one of whom this is true. For it pleased the Father that in Him, Jesus Christ, all the fullness should dwell. In Him and in Him alone. So number one, Jesus is fully God. Number two, Jesus is exclusively God. No one else can truthfully make the claim that Jesus made, I and the Father are one. And number three, Jesus is eternally God. He became the God-man at the incarnation. He remains the God-man after His ascension. There is, as I've already said, a man on the throne of God. His name is Jesus Christ. The triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, from all eternity past, from before the incarnation backwards, in our manner of thinking and speaking, because we as creatures of time can only speak and can only think in this way, past, present, and future. So from the moment before the before the conception of Jesus in the womb of the Virgin Mary, backwards, all the way back into eternity past, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, were all spirits. Neither the Father, nor the Son, nor the Holy Spirit dwelt in a body. We find manifestations of God the Son in the Old Testament. We call them Christophanies, when Christ seemed to appear to men as a man. We're not sure exactly what to make of that. Sometimes he's called the angel of the Lord. But he appeared to men and appeared to be a man, but that was not a permanent representation. That was not a permanent condition. He took that upon him temporarily and then laid it aside again. He was always spirit. God the Father is a spirit. You don't see him. God the Son was a spirit. He is a spirit, but he's more than that now. But you didn't see him. God the Holy Spirit, of course, is a spirit. But from the time of the conception onward, God the Son was the Spirit of God in his fullness within human flesh. He is a man. And now, in that respect, God is visible. Those who saw Jesus during his days upon the earth were looking at God Almighty. And that's why he said, "Have I been so long with you, Philip, and you have not known me? He who has seen me has seen the Father." God became visible in the body of Jesus Christ, and that continues on. Since his glorified body ascended back to heaven, and he sits upon the throne of God in heaven, he sits there as a visible man. Now, human eyes can see God in the person Christ Jesus. They can see God the Son in this way. He is eternally God. Now, the one thing, well, there's many things about this that blow my mind. I really have difficulty stretching my mind around a lot of these things. But one thing is clear, even though God the Son is now embodied in a man, he is not restricted to that location. In other words, in becoming incarnate, he did not lose his attributes. So if God is omnipresent, as he is, everywhere present at once, then God the Son, Jesus Christ, retains that characteristic, that attribute of God, even after the incarnation. He didn't somehow lose some of his attributes of deity in the incarnation. Therefore, even though he is contained within a body, or maybe I should say he indwells a body, he is not confined to that body. Now this, I'm really out of my element here. I've said as much as I can say. I've said as much as I know. I've said the truth as best I understand it. And beyond that, I can't say another word, because I really can't conceive of this. I can't understand it very well. I cannot, therefore, explain it any further. That's the end of that. And we'll have to take up some implications from all of this on the broadcast tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.